From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of February 2018. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this program, we'll take a look at what's happened in the commodity markets today with Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. If you can stay around for the whole hour, you'll hear all of Commodity Week. If not, just an excerpt from it. Mike was a guest on that program along with Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing and Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain, up on the website right now at WILLAG.org. Also coming up in our first half hour today, we'll take a look at the brand new survey released from Farm Futures. Bryce Knorr will be here to tell us about that. And Eric Snodgrass will drop by with a look at the weather forecast. He's with Agrible, and it all happens on this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, this is the Closing Market Report for Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Mike Zuzulo is now here. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael. Not a bad day for the grains in Chicago today for this last day of the trading, last trading day of the week.
No, not at all. We could have done better, Todd. We could have been able to make some new 2018 highs in the corn. If we could have gotten about a penny higher, 354 and three quarters is that current high in the lead month corn futures. But it was one of those days, like we've seen many times before, where we have a bean market that wants to go higher on different fundamentals, different factors, some of it weather, some of it stock market rally. But, you know, you can see we were held back again by the soybeans. The early gains that pushed us up to a five-week high allowed us to get up to the 200-day moving average in the March beans. All these things were at work. The technicals were very much at work. But the fundamentals of the wheat export sales today, the wheat export inspections earlier this week helped pull us back down. The wheat and the corn still have a play on the soybeans. And I think in part because of the fact that we have Argentine weather at stake in terms of hitting the soybean production, but it's not Brazilian weather. And really, that's where the bean crop's grown, when you have double the production amount in Brazil versus Argentina.
And they are beginning their harvest in Mato Grosso at this time.
Yeah, they're behind, and they're behind probably enough that some in the private world and consultant agencies down in Brazil are saying that they're going to have about 6.5 million tons of new crop soybeans available by the end of January versus about 11.5 million tons last year at this time. We're seeing both the Argentine and Brazil bean tightness reflected in the meal market, and that's going to be the big leader, I think, next week as far as whether we can continue higher or not. The meal needs to hold in here and not slip back below 325 a ton. And as I'm kind of alluding to, we really need the wheat and the corn to turn it on here and provide some overall support to the market and the beans.
That's lead option March contract?
Yes, sir.
So we had a low today at 328, and we finished at 331, so it can certainly make it through that process easily enough.
Yeah, and the thing is what I'm picking up from some of the colleagues in the cash market in South America right now is that arbitrage opportunity of U.S. getting more meal demand and more meal exports coming to a close here as we get into February. So we've only got about a week, 2 weeks left here, where we really need to see the Argentine meal price continue to go higher, Brazilian meal price continue to go higher. And this is something that, you know, does concern me. And in fact, I did make some fresh recommendations on 18 bean hedges today with clients and subscribers when we cross that $10 threshold, just as a safety precaution in case the Brazilians really do have as big a crop as some think.
Do you think as we head into the February crop insurance setting month, we can manage to continue seasonally higher? Maybe not, given that you're starting to make some hedges in the soybeans.
Yeah, I think it's harder in the beans. I'm not negative the market the next 30 days. I'm actually looking at the market as probably the best opportunity, given the Argentine weather and the corn, some of the currency price action, the energy price action. The funds typically will cover their short positions in the corn and the wheat during this time window. I think only 2014 was the only year in the last five or six that we didn't see this time period as a major short covering time period for the funds when they were short in the corn and in the wheat. So I'm not giving up on the market, but you have to recognize the technicals are very important at this point to the trade. And obviously the wheat market is, it just needs to get above 435 and stay above that. And I think that gives the funds the mindset that, okay, we've got a low in place. We've got enough weather underneath us that the demand is not as big a factor.
Livestock complex was mostly lower for the day. What do you think there?
Well, you notice that the fat cattle came back on the close. I think that has direct relationship to the winter weather coming in a lot harder for the plain states. It looked like Nebraska and Kansas were going to be mostly warm next week. That flip-flopped on the noontime models, Todd, and we got a lot colder for Nebraska. 7 to 8 inches of snow in that area, 15 inches of snow in Yankton, South Dakota. So I think it's going to be pretty hard to get cash cattle movement next week, whereas the trade was probably thinking we could get some a lot of movement out of the market-ready cattle.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
That, of course, is Mike Suslow. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible to take up the weather forecast. Where are you traveling to first this week and next week?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going all over the country. I'm in Mount Vernon today. Great group down here talking to just about, you know, big picture weather stresses. And then I'll go out to North Carolina to talk a little bit about sweet potatoes there to start the week. I end up in Fargo, and then I'll be in Indiana, Chicago, and at weekend, I'll be in Nebraska. So it's a busy one. A lot of folks want to know what that long-range weather's doing.
Holy smokes. I guess you are busy. Speaking of which, that meeting this morning you did in Mount Vernon, I think, was with Farm Credit Illinois. And I'll be out on that meeting circuit next week. So we're going to hit the road. You can see some of those on the Farm Credit Illinois website and or by hitting willag.org and then looking at calendar. So during that time frame, what kind of weather will we have maybe over the next several days? Things are changing nicer today.
Yeah, we're already 10 degrees warmer today than we were yesterday at this time. And even yesterday was warmer than the day before. So we've certainly shifted over to a southwest flow at the surface now, and it's going to come out of the south in the next couple of days, basically getting us into Saturday and Sunday. And that's going to change things up a little bit. We get that southerly flow. We've opened up the Gulf of Mexico, and that means it's going to get a little mucky. We're going to see some clouds move in, going to see that snow finally melt off. And so the next few days with the warm-up we're going to get, we're going to be seeing some deteriorating conditions, but at least we're not going to be freezing all of that every single night. We're in fact going to have some warm temperatures, maybe in the 50s in central Illinois as we move into Sunday into early Monday. But all that's out ahead of a big system that we're watching coming out of the Rocky Mountains, and that's the big pattern shift we have to talk about. Because we have been seeing a big deep trough over the east, you know, going back about a month now. And now we've shifted to bringing more of these West Coast systems. And so they've been dumping the rain on California and bringing the mountain snows. And as they get across the mountains, they're kicking off low pressure systems. So we're going to miss the snow. We're going to get rain out of this Sunday night into Monday, maybe quite a bit of rain out of this. But the bigger story, I think, with all this is that this system, just like the others, is missing that really, really dry pocket of land there in parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Some of those areas have not seen rainfall to get back to the beginning of October of last year. So each one of these is kind of forming beyond it and not really hammering those locations with snow or rain. So we're building a bit of a drought picture to our south and west, which we've been talking about. And it's something that I'm going to be watching very carefully over the coming months. I think that's a big weather story that could start off the 2018 season with a little bit of adversity. So we'll watch it closely.
That system sounds to me like it's coming from the west. Is that the case? And does that mean we're in a transition period again?
Yeah, you know, it's coming from the west. So the trough is now out west rather than out east. And what that means is these troughs tend to lift. They go from kind of Colorado towards Chicago and then get into the Great Lakes area. What that means for us is we tend to spend a few days out ahead of them with quite a bit of warm weather. And if they lift to the north like that, we tend to not get these big plunges of cold air behind them. So yeah, a cold front's still going to come through, but it's not going to knock us down to single digits this time. In fact, I don't really see that the really Arctic frigid air around here, at least for the rest of the month. So that's at least as a positive sign looking forward. Because, you know, we are gaining daylight hours. Sun's getting a little bit higher in the sky. We've kind of made the turn on winter in terms of those two features. And so we'll be watching it all closely as it evolves into February.
Okay, better check in on South America. Combines are actually rolling in Mato Grosso.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the thing about that harvest right now is that the 10-day forecast, pretty much they all agree we're looking at a drier pattern in Brazil's northern growing regions. In fact, they're starting to dry out over the last month or so. But dry at this time of year is like dry during our harvest. We want that, you know, and so the dry bias there is not a negative thing for that soybean crop. We're thinking that soybean crop is going to be pretty large as well. Really, they had a delay in planting, which we talked about a lot on the show, but really the bean crop got plenty of rain throughout the season, no major stresses either way. So as they're harvesting it, they're expecting a pretty big crop out of that Mato Grosso region. A little bit different story when you get down in Argentina. Argentina's kind of being the market story we need to watch because there's been some pockets and some time periods of drier weather. And one of the things we're kind of looking out for in the longer run is what's really going to happen in the Cordoba and Buenos Aires province. You know, what are those two provinces going to see in terms of rain for the next few months? Long-range models say there's a better chance that they see drier conditions than wetter. And so we'll have to watch that closely. Those models aren't perfect, but they're at least what the markets are going to trade right now if they're trading on weather. And I'll tell you one last thing that I think a thing that might be positive for corn prices is going to be the fact that the fact that there's a delay in the planting of the Safrinha crop, plus where corn prices are kind of globally, we may see more cotton acres going in this year rather than corn in those northern grow regions for that Safrinha crop. So that's another story to be on the lookout for.
Hey, one more place we want to check in on, and I haven't checked in most of the winter, Black Sea region. What kinds of conditions have they suffered through, or are they in at the moment?
Yeah, you know, that's great. You know, I produce a map every day that looks at the last 30 days of both precipitation anomalies and temperature anomalies. And I'll say this about the Black Sea region getting over there into parts of Western Russia, where they do grow a lot of wheat. You know, we're talking over the last 30 days, they've had a warm bias. It's not that it hasn't been cold at times, but a warm bias overall in that part of Russia, not in Siberia, but in that part of Russia. And in addition to that, they actually are carrying right now a near average to a slight wet bias. So if you contrast that to what's going on in the U.S., you know, hard red winter wheat area, it's quite a different story where the U.S. has been incredibly cold and very, very dry, whereas they've had a bit of a warm bias and they've been a little bit wetter than average. So interesting to see how it plays out kind of dynamically across the planet.
Always fun to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible. We're now joined by Bryce Knorr. He's with Farm Futures, and they've completed a survey of farmers across the Midwest, wondering just exactly what they might be putting in the ground for the coming year. What'd you find for acreage, Bryce?
Well, we found that growers plan to put in the most soybeans ever and more than corn for the first time and the only time really since the 1983 pick year, but not by much. Soybeans edging out corn just by 35,000 acres. Both corn and soybeans, once you get rid of the rounding, are 90.1 million acres. Little changed from what they planted in 2017, according to USDA. So basically more of the same. At least those were the indications when we surveyed growers from December 4th through January 3rd. Things may be changing.
You surveyed, I think, about 925 growers, and this was nationwide. Any other crops that you found of interest in the survey?
Well, just as USDA found that the growers planted almost as much winter wheat as they did in 2016, we found growers in the northern plains where prices of high protein wheat are higher want to increase seedings there 6.7%. So it looks like total wheat acres could be up almost 2%, despite the fact that prices have been very good, at least on average. Also, growers on the southwest plains want to plant more sorghum. That makes sense because we are seeing the early signs of drought there in a lot of places. So, and sorghum tends to be a more drought tolerant crop. Also, growers across the cotton belt want to plant more cotton. Cotton has been really the only crop that that showed any decent prices in 2017.
It looks to on the winter wheat, and we saw this in the USDA numbers, that it's not hard red, but other varieties, soft red, winter white, and spring wheat that really was driving this.
Right, and so I think, you know, again, a lot of growers in Kansas had trouble getting their wheat in. Some of that may be due to low prices, some of it just due to the late harvest of corn and soybean.
Anything to really draw a conclusion on this?
Well, like I said, I think we're the price dynamics could be changing. We surveyed the growers informally here. I think there's perhaps a little more interest in soybeans, particularly when I mentioned $500 anhydrous prices, that raised some eyebrows for the folks that haven't bought their nitrogen yet. And the higher nitrogen costs, higher fuel costs, could, and perhaps just better overall profitability for soybeans, or at least losing less money, perhaps, in corn, could shift some more ground into soybeans.
And finally, does this give you any thought about marketing advice for the new crop?
Well, I think what it means is we may have to worry about corn a little bit, maybe buy a few acres, but it's going to be tough to get prices over $4, at least on the DEIS contract. For soybeans, I think it indicates that we could have another good crop. And if we get opportunities to lock in a profit, and some people can already do that depending on the cost of production, I think you have to start protecting the downside this early. However, you need to probably do that in the options market.
Hey, thanks so much.
Okay, take it easy then.
That's Bryce Norm. He's with Farm Futures Magazine.